When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. Lottie and I are continuing the Rebels rewatch. Now, the following episodes were pre-recorded this past summer. We are now posting all of Season 1 here on Star Wars Hangout. If you have thoughts on Rebels Season 2, get those transmissions in ASAP, and we'll feature you on the show. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to A Galaxy Far, Far Away. I am your host, Ezra, the flannel space wizard, your Y-thing in...
What?
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to our Rebel rewatch. We are discussing Season 1, Episode 12, Vision of Hope. Sorry, but we're not. We're going to roll with this. That's about the fourth time we did the intro there. So it's hard saying Y-wing enthusiast and flannel space wizard. So I'm just going to roll with this here. Anyway, let's check in with our trusty Padawan learner, the Princess of Brightree Village, my wonderful co-host, and yours, Lottie.
Ah, yeah. Schön, dass ihr da seid. Thanks for joining us on our Rebel rewatch today. And, sweetie, I'm so impressed. Every time you do it right, you have, like, your intro is, like, this long, and mine is just, like, two words. So,
yeah.
Don't feel bad. You're doing great.
Okay. Well, but, just trying to get going here because, you know, we want to dive into this. I get so excited that I just zip right on past some of the words are hard to say. So.
I know. Trust me.
Yeah, you do know. We're back, and we actually watched two episodes back to back. We're going to give you guys two episodes. We're going to do episode 12, and then we're going to bounce into episode 13 as we're getting close to the end of season one here. But I wanted to recap a little bit. Last night, we watched Solo.
Yes.
And we got to see Han Solo. We got to see Kira. We were on Corellia. Lots of cool stuff. We met Tobias Beckett. Who else do we meet, sweetie? Didn't we meet someone else? He was the former, I guess he's the current in the Solo movie, captain of the Millennium Falcon,
Lando.
Our good friend Lando Calrissian. Yeah. So I told you guys I was going to take her back and show her some Solo. So we got through half of it. I think we have half of it to get through maybe tonight or this weekend or whatever. But they're on their way to Kessel. They've just made it to Kessel. So, yeah, it's a good spot. What did you think so far, the first half?
It's actually pretty good. Originally, we were just going to put it on and do whatever, so just have it in the background, right? Mm-hmm. But I really got caught, like, I don't know. Like,
caught up in it, yeah.
Yeah, caught up in it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think the first time I kind of, you can't really call it watched it, but it was really cool. We were... it was New Year's Eve, and my good friends, Teresa and David and Yula, and we all had one house rented out, during New Year's, and, they just had their babies and everything.
Yeah.
So we were all like kind of taking care of the babies. They were not even 1 year old yet. And then one afternoon we just wanted to chill, relax and watch a movie. And David is like a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's like, I think this movie just came out, like, Solo, and everyone's like, no way, we're not, like, the girls were like, no,
right.
We're not watching this. And then, I think, like, the babies were doing something, and they didn't really, like, they were gone, and Dobby was like, yes, we're watching it. And so
That's
I
awesome.
Kind of watched it, but not really. I don't remember much.
Wow. Isn't that interesting how you find out things live on the podcast?
Yeah.
Had no idea that you had seen any Solo whatsoever, so.
Right, yeah, like I said, I really don't remember much, but it was cool. I want to see the rest of it.
Yeah. Cool. Because yeah, the reason we went back was really for Lando, because Lando was sort right. of he was kind of a
important in that movie.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So awesome. Okay. Cool. So let's we'll come back to that. Last episode was Idiot's Array, and then today we are diving into episode 12, Vision of Hope. So I'm gonna read to you guys just a quick summary, and then we'll get started. During lightsaber practice, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to practice with your lightsaber. That's what they do in space. Ezra has a fragmented vision of Gaul Travis, who is an exiled Imperial senator, and he's a rebel synthesizer. Is he synthesizing?
He's synthesizing rebel.
What is he synthesizing? Well, if I could synthesize my words right today, he is a rebel sympathizer. and assumes that Travis knows about his parents. The rebels receive a transmission from Travis notifying them that there's a secret rally on Lothal, and Ezra kind of he gets a tip from one of his buddies on the inside that Callus and the others are planning to lure the rebels into a trap. So Ezra thinks that he's going to save Senator Gal Travis, or Gaul Travis, I should say. See, now the Han and Lando situation, they have me all messed up because they're always going back and forth with the whole, is it Han? Is it Han? So is it Gaul?
It's Han, it's okay.
But it's okay, right? Is it Gaul or is it Gal? It's Gaul, I think. Anyway, Gaul Travis reveals that he is actually an Imperial spy who has used his anti-Imperial transmissions to identify these rebel sympathizers, right? And he claims that Ezra's parents are dead and gone. Having suspected this treachery, Hera outsmarts him, and they're able to kind of get by and escape, ultimately. They're good. So a vision of hope. Ezra has his first kind of vision, you know? And so while he's training, he has a vision of things to come, and he's not exactly correct on this.
Yeah.
And this is the way with visions. This happens. This happens to Luke. It happens to a lot of Jedi, where they have a partial vision. They don't have the full context. They're not quite sure what they're seeing. They were just on the run with him. It looked as if they had saved him from something.
Mm-hmm.
But what we hadn't seen was the end of that, where he's actually a spy who is, you know, luring them into a trap.
Right.
So, yeah, what were your initial thoughts on that episode?
I was wondering if, like, that Gaul Travis guy, or Travis, if he's, again, someone who was in the films and comes back, or is he a new character? Like, who is he really?
Yeah, he's new.
His history.
Yeah, he's new.
Oh, he's new to Rebels. Okay.
To Rebels, yeah.
See, I thought he was someone who comes back, like, because seemed like everyone should know him. He's, like, a, you know, known personality, or known senator.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he might want be a figure who comes back.
No, just like Minister Tua, who starts, like, we this whole season we catch up with Minister Tua, who's just there on Lothal. This is just an exiled senator. So there are many, many senators in the galaxy who, you know, because there's many systems, many planets and stuff.
Okay.
So you just kind of accept that he's a senator who is sympathetic to the rebel cause.
Yeah. I tried to read something about him real quick before we started, and it seems like he was one of the only senators who was, like, critical towards the Imperial Senate. Yeah.
Openly. Yeah. Like, he was interrupting their broadcast, and everyone was sort of like, oh, hurrah, like, good job, cool, he's interrupting it. And he's kind of, anyone who would be interested in that cause would lure them into a trap. And then he said in the episode that, like, after he had met with them, he didn't kill them, but they were tracked. Now their identities were known, bad things would happen to them, and so on. So that's really the tool that they kind of used there. He seemingly was, you know, and like propped up to be this rebel senator. And really, the real senators that we know about, like Bail Organa, for example, the senator from Alderaan, he's actually pretending to be an Imperial.
Oh, so it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we met him, right? We met him. We had R2 and we had C-3PO and stuff like that. So he was like, he told R2, show me everything you've got on these rebels. He wanted to see
his daughter is Leia, right?
Leia.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so he's trying to keep track, tabs on them. Right now, they're trying to find more people, like the rebels, this little rebel group, Phoenix Squadron, they're trying to grow. They want to have an impact, and they want to, you know, make a difference. What's really helping them is that they have a Jedi, that they have Hera.
Right.
They're yes. really well informed. They've got Fulcrum, who's giving them information. So, yeah, they're a pretty good unit, but they're also small. Mm-hmm. And I think they're being watched by a larger group, you know, to see, like...
Right.
Yeah. So I think they actually thought in this that that Travis was going to be someone that they could trust, that he mm-hmm. would kind of yeah. have connections, be able to connect them to other people, other Rebel cell groups, and
yeah, he
and
gave them hope.
Yeah, gave them hope. Yeah, and ultimately he's not a good guy; he's a bad guy. Yeah. So at the end of this, he ends up, I think, kind of broadcasting, or maybe it's the next episode. Yeah, it's the next episode, which we're going to get to. He ends up making a broadcast that is not so good. And identifies right. these rebels. We'll get to that in a second. But so the whole thing is just this big chase, and it's Ezra dealing with the idea that he has a vision that he's unable to fully understand. Kanan kind of knows that, wants to tell him. What I thought was really cool, did you catch on that Hera actually, like, you can kind of see from her facial expressions in these episodes that she knew something was up?
Well, I remember, like, she was like, when Kanan stopped or was done talking to Ezra, she was like, vision? She's mm-hmm. already... Or do you mean like after that?
No, before.
Yeah.
The whole while, she has been a little bit skeptical. She very much hopes, but she does the whole thing. Like yeah. she... I don't know. She even though she's... Because she tells Ezra at the end of the episode, she hoped just as much as he mm-hmm. did that Senator Travis was going to be legit. But she never, I guess she's very cautious, and she's yes. been wronged a lot. She has seen how people lay traps, and so she was ready to figure this senator out, because she hands him the blaster and knows that it's not charged. And right.
yeah.
he has,
she's so,
you know,
clever.
She's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, if that happened before with Kanan, that he had a vision, he acted on it, and it proved to be different or wrong. Or,
yeah.
And that's why she was, like, skeptical about Ezra's vision.
Could be. Kanan even says that he's had a vision before, and he's, right, and Ezra says, what was it of? And he was, like, this annoying kid who was going to, you know, this brat teenager who was going to be bothering me or whatever. And but I think there is something there, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I think there is probably something, and there was like a look shared between them, like between Hera and Kanan, that yep. would indicate to me that she's heard this before, and we need yeah. to be cautious with these types of visions and stuff. So, mm-hmm. and actually, anyone who's seen Star Wars, you know, if you've seen Episode 5 and you know what Luke Skywalker gets into, he has that vision when he's upside down, he's training with Yoda, of his friends in Cloud City and Lando Calrissian, the trap that was laid. For Luke Skywalker. It's actually all a trap for Luke Skywalker in Episode 5. So they're chasing down Han Solo, Leia. They put Han Solo in carbonite. Mm-hmm. Wow, my words are all over the place today. And at some point, I think, Lando says, he's talking to him, and he says, look, you know, they're not after you at all. They're after somebody called Skywalker. And it's like, oh, okay. So they're after Luke Skywalker. And he had a vision, though, and Yoda told him to be kind of like the future is always in motion, and yeah. visions of the future always are changing, and you need more clarity. And that's exactly what Kanan says, too. It takes a very strong master to kind of see the different interpretations yeah. and stuff. Really cool. Another thing that's interesting that they did sort of in, I thought it was literature or comic books or where it's at, but Palpatine has a vision of Episode 6. When he says, like, everything is going to plan, right, yeah. as he has foreseen. And it's like, okay, so he had a vision of how things were going to go. He gives the rebels those plans. And that vision had multiple outcomes, but he only saw the outcome that he wanted to see, the one where he mm-hmm. was the victor, where he won.
Right.
And he was not looking out for other things.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know, you got to be careful wielding the power of visions. So
did you ever have a vision, like, where you thought this is something that could happen in the future?
I've actually had, this is crazy, you know, we talk about deja vu sometimes,
uh-huh.
where something happens, you're like, this has happened before, right? There's also been times where I've had something happen to me, and I've dreamed this, Not that it's happened before,
mm-hmm.
but I've dreamed this. And
that's
I knew
crazy.
The dream came back to me. You know what I mean? Like, I know people are probably right now going, Ez, come on now.
Yeah.
But I don't know, friends, if you're out there and that's happened to you, reach out to me because, like, yeah, something, it was something real simple. One time it was just me out in my garden, and it was sort of like a conversation or something happened between, I think it was my grandma, my mom, my sister. I was out in the cornfield. And as it's happening, I had this, like, wow, I dreamed this. Like, just a thought that I
okay.
remember dreaming something very similar to that situation. So who knows, though? We dream, you know, every night something, whether we remember it or not, lots going on in our sleep. So.
The question is, did you go there and have that conversation because of your dream? Because you felt like, you know, that's it felt familiar and that's where you needed to go?
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? It's trippy. It's trippy to think about that kind of stuff. I've always thought deja vu was really, really trippy, too.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this has happened before. It's happened here when we've been together. I've been standing over by that kitchen sink, and I've been like, wow, I just had deja vu, you know?
Yeah.
And it's probably because I'm setting down the same item I sit down all the time, the sour cream.
Probably. You know? Yeah. But I heard that it happens to people a lot, like deja vu.
Yeah. Well, it's because I'm an old soul, you know? I've lived so many years, so many millennia. It's just...
True. I believe that.
It's the case. That's what's up.
Didn't you say your parents... when you were born and like a little baby and a toddler, they were like, yeah, you're a toddler, but you're still like an
old man.
You have that old soul vibe.
No, they totally did. my name, this is a funny story. My name was supposed to be Jonathan. And I actually even have a plaque somewhere where it's got my little feet, you know, my little infant feet. And it says Jonathan Kirk.
Really?
And that was supposed to be my name, yeah.
Aww.
And actually, it was my dad was in the hospital, and when he met me, when he held me for the first time, he said, I mean, he in his mind, no, that wasn't. They had told my grandma that they're going to name me Jonathan.
No.
And then he looked at me, he was like, yeah, he was like, it's not a Jonathan. That's not Jonathan, that's Ezra. And I was like, wow. So it was kind of and my mom confirms it. She was like, yeah, he totally just when he saw you, said, no, it's Ezra.
But was Ezra their second favorite name?
No, Ezra was not a name they even had in the
world. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. The way he just said, I look like a little old man when he was holding me. And I don't know why he thought of Ezra, but he went back and he had some Old Testament names, you know, and stuff. So, yeah.
I think crazy. That's a cool story.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then when I played Little League Baseball, I had some surgeries on my arm, and I've had different things, kind of like a bone disease that I grew up with. And I would go to throw the baseball, and gosh, I looked like a big, strong guy, and I was really going to just throw it. And I just threw this change-up slow ball, actually. It looked like I was going to just fire it in there, right? And it just came out so slow. And so they nicknamed me Grandpa. Yeah. Oh, Grandpa's up on the mound throwing again. You know, like I just be, and I, it took kids a couple innings to figure out, like, he's not going to throw it very fast. He's only going to throw it. So it was kind of funny.
That is funny.
Yeah. Anyway, old soul, old spirit.
Yeah.
But be careful. The lesson here is be careful of those visions. And then this is a really interesting tactic about this misinformation kind of luring rebels in. You can see how savvy the Empire is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their attempt to bring,
Why? Because they said it in, I think in the next episode, they said it not because of the individuals themselves, like Ezra or Kanan as a person, but more because of what they represent is hope. And they want to prevent, any kind of, you know, rise of hope among the ordinary people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this is called a vision of hope. And that's sort of the whole thing is that they definitely want to have everyone feel sort of alone.
That's why it's so important to catch the rebels, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though they're a small group, but they're afraid of what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So.
And then they have, I mean, they have little, like, spies or, you know, people that are not really, like, truly with the Empire. Like, Ezra's friend, who's a cadet for the Empire, but really wants to find his sister. What's his name again?
Zare?
Yeah, doesn't he talk to him in this episode?
He does. Yes, he does.
Right, and he gives him the information on something that, oh yeah, that, do you think he, well, do you think he knows?
Knows what?
That Gal Travis was,
oh no, do I think brilliant? That little cadet knows?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Couple. I always like to mention some of the droid moments. Chopper was pretty big in this episode, and he took out like an Imperial droid. Opens up the he like kicks that awesome. Droid down in there, which was fun. And he's
and
just
then
he's,
they,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
He's what? No, he's just, you know, he's a real rebel.
Yeah.
I mean, he's true. He's got a good rebel spirit.
I love how they seal that escape entrance whatever, and he's like, nope, I'm not having this.
Yeah, he like immediately turns around and he gets out his, like,
they're not even,
his saw.
They're not even out of sight.
They're
yet.
Two steps away. And he's like, I don't think so. And starts, you know. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good.
And I really enjoy the little nudges also between Ezra and Sabine. They're cute. They're getting cute.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like talking. They get down there and she's, they're talking about the smell.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it kind of smells like you. And he's like, you know what I smell like?
Right. Everyone else would have been like, that's an insult. Like, it smells really bad down there.
She knows my smell?
And he's like,
what?
Oh, my God.
I know. I had someone try to tell me, and the reason I play this up so much is that, like, oh, there's nothing between them. Like, you guys read into it too much. Or, like, not everyone in Star Wars has to be, like, in love. It's like, okay, that's fine. But they definitely have a crush on each other. Or he has a crush on her, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, whether he grows out of that or not is something you have to kind of watch and see. Okay? Yeah, it's just at the end. It's really Ezra and Hera kind of talking and bonding here. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing, too, is that this is more personal, too, for Ezra because of his parents.
Yeah.
And he really liked the senator because it sounded a lot like his parents, someone who was speaking out. So, he was...
Wasn't he part of, like, the reason why his parents are gone?
Don't know. We're going to talk about that next episode. It's not necessarily, I don't know. Did he say that? He just said that they're gone. He did say that.
Right. But he remembered them. And I don't know if he was part of the whole, like, scheme of catching them or.
I don't think he was. I think he just recalled. He's like, there hasn't been. He said something like, there hasn't been anyone speaking out against the Empire here since the Bridgers. Oh, the Bridger transmissions. And he like remembers them.
Okay.
And that's really about it. Hmm. So, yeah. So he says no one ever knew, not even his droids. They identify and watch the insurgents, all that good stuff. Yeah, the troublesome ones have accidents afterwards. He's like, but you're not a traitor. You're a voice of freedom, a light in the darkness. Ezra's just so upset, like my parents.
So disappointed.
And he's like, no one's spoken out in the against the Empire on Lothal since the Bridger transmissions.
Wow.
So there you go. And he says, I remember them, the original voices of freedom. So that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
So he just sort of identifies them. They were a big deal.
Right. I wonder... do you remember when they came in and no one was there? It was just Travis and two guards or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think no one showed up to the secret meeting because they knew who he really is, or they remember what happened to, let's say, Ezra's parents and they're afraid, or there's just not as many like rebels or rebel friends on Lothal?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who are just afraid. You know, and even if they did pick up on the message, they're not going to go walk by. Mm. They don't want to be identified as rebels. Mm. And if they're not organized, if they're not actively fighting. See, I think Hera and Ezra and others would be, there's whispers on the streets about this group and about Kanan and a Jedi and so on. I think if there were other really, I don't know, if there were rebels, they would know more about them.
Yeah.
Like Jair, for example, who's in the Imperial Academy, you know, like ends up joining up with Ezra and goes on the run, and he's still got that Imperial cadet that he's talking to. So as they meet people, maybe one by one they come together, but there's really not like a unit.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
And so I think in anybody who did walk by, I think there's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, no one did because really they're kind of it right now. They are the rebels. Other people might be sympathetic and be interested as well, but they're not going to go as far as to meet the senator in exile. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Vision of Hope ends, and it's not great. It's not, you know, it just kind of sucks. And Hera and Ezra kind of bond. They talk about it, and there's still hope. They're still going to trust in each other and move forward, you know?
Yeah.
Forget this Yeah, Gale Travis guy, and move on.
Right.
They tried.
Yeah.
Learned a valuable lesson. So, okay. I think we're good, sweetie, on that one. Yeah. This one's a little bit shorter. The next one's actually pretty good, so we'll talk a bit more about that. But friends, thanks so much for joining us here on our Rebel Rewatch. It's been good. We're almost done. We're at this episode 12. We've got 13, 14, 15. We've got three more. Sweet. Yeah.
In this season.
It's wild.
And then three more seasons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, we do. But they go quick. They're going to go really quick. This has gone really fast, actually.
Yes, it is. I mean, so. Watching at least one episode every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be done in
a month and 2 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
When does Kenobi come out?
We'll probably take a break for Kenobi, just so everyone knows. Okay. We'll probably just cover that religiously. And then we'll come back and finish up our rewatch. So I thought it was nice, again, like that you had seen Solo before Kenobi, and then you've seen Rebels, and we're getting you just a little bit of each.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, friends. Well, hey, that is it for now. Thanks so much. Please like, please subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave us a review over there. Follow at Charlotte Sue. And then follow me at Womprat_2M. We will see you guys next time. And as always, remember, may the Force be with you.
Ciao.
Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.